ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। भूपाताला ककुव्योमा ग्रह नक्षत्र भूभृतम् सरित समुद्र द्वीपानाम् संभवश्चैतल ओकशम् भूपाताला ककुव्योमा गृह नक्षत्र भूभृतम् सरित समुद्र द्वीपानाम् संभवश्चैतद् ओकसाम्। Bhupatala, underneath the land. Kakub, the four sides of the heavens. Vyoma, the sky. Graha, the planets. Nakshatra, the stars. Bhubhritam, of the hills. Sarit, the river. Samudra, the sea. Dvipanam, of the islands. Sambhava, appearance. Cha, also. Etat, there. Okasam, of the inhabitants. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, please also describe how the creation of the globes throughout the universe, the four directions of the heavens, the sky, the planets, the stars, the mountains, the rivers, the seas and the islands, as well as the different kinds of inhabitants, takes place. Translation responsibly. O best of the Brahmanas,
O best of the Brahmanas,
please also describe,
how
the creation of the globes,
throughout the universe,
the four directions of the heavens,
the sky,
the planets,
the
stars,
the mountains,
the rivers,
the seas,
and the islands,
as well as the
different kinds of
inhabitants,
takes place. Purport. The inhabitants of different varieties of land, etc., are differently situated, and not all of them are equal in all respects. The inhabitants of the land are different from the inhabitants of the water or the sky, and similarly the inhabitants of the different planets and stars in the sky are also different from one another. By the laws of the Lord, no place is vacant, but the creatures of one particular place are different from those of other places. Even in human society, the inhabitants of the jungles or the deserts are different from those of the cities and villages. They are so made according to different qualities of the modes of nature. Such adjustment by the laws of nature is not blind. There is a great plan behind the arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit requests the great sage Shukadev Goswami to explain all these authoritatively in accordance with proper understanding. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I was just coming to attend class, so somehow I've ended up here. So let's see. So I'll read the purport one more time, just so I can grasp what's going on. The inhabitants of different varieties of land, etc., are differently situated, and not all of them are equal in all respects. The inhabitants of the land are different from the inhabitants of the water or the sky, and similarly, the inhabitants of the different planets and stars in the sky are also different from one another. By the laws of the Lord, no place is vacant, but the creatures of one particular place are different from those of other places. Even in human society, the inhabitants of the jungles or the deserts are different from those of the cities and villages. They are so made according to different qualities of the modes of nature. Such adjustment by the laws of nature is not blind. There is a great plan behind the arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit requests the great sage Shukdev Goswami to explain all these authoritatively in accordance with proper understanding. So here in this chapter, these are some questions being posed by Shukdev Goswami. So Shukdev Goswami is very... by Parikshit. Thank you. Thanks for correcting. By Parikshit Maharaj is asking various questions. So Parikshit Maharaj is very inquisitive into... he's asking about the creation. So the Bhagavatam deals with many topics. One of them is creation. So there are 12 main topics in the Bhagavatam. Is it 12? 10 major topics. And all of these 10 are discussed in every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So usually some cantos deal specifically with one topic, but the others are also addressed. So here Maharaj Parikshit, and here the second canto is also called, the cosmic manifestation. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking about the cosmic manifestation, how it is created, about the creation, the primary creation, the secondary creation, how all that takes place. So here in this verse he's asking of the creation of the globes throughout the universe, and about the heavens, the sky, the planets, the stars, mountains, rivers, seas, islands, and the different kinds of inhabitants residing in these places, how all of that takes place. So Maharaj Parikshit is very inquisitive, and we see that even today people are very inquisitive about the creation of the universe. In that a human being, someone who is intelligent, a human will ask these questions because we have intelligence. So even today people want to know about what's out there in the universe, what's on this planet, where did we come from, why are there so many species. But the problem with their inquiry is good, but they don't have a good source to refer to. They don't have someone who can give them a good answer, because they want answers from fallible soldiers. So because a conditioned soul has 4 defects, therefore the knowledge being placed by the conditioned souls is not perfect. So the knowledge about the universe is very, very limited. In fact, most of it is speculation. So in our textbooks in school and university, all what we learned was pretty much speculation. So even just about this planet, they have very limited knowledge, and what to speak of what's going on outside the universe, so beyond this planet and beyond this universe, they have no idea. But Maharaj Parikshit's source is Shukdev Goswami, who is a pure devotee, and he's presenting what he has heard from his spiritual master. So this is how we get knowledge, through the parampara. When we get knowledge through the parampara, that knowledge is perfect, because the source of that knowledge is Krishna. So we know Krishna, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam originally in 4 verses, and like that it's been expanded into 18,000 verses. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam also it's mentioned somewhere along in that on other planets the Srimad Bhagavatam is more than 18,000 verses. On our planet it is 18,000 verses. So it can be elaborated like that. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is there. It is a perfect it is perfect knowledge, because it is emanating from Krishna and passed on through his pure devotees. Therefore this knowledge is perfect. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam everything is there. If we make a sincere study of Srimad Bhagavatam, everything we need to know about life is there, and even how to make spiritual advancement, all that is there. So it has Sambandha, Gyan, Abhideya and Prayojana, it's all there. So human society just needs to read these books translated by Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in these books everything is there. How to rule a country, relationships between people. Even there's descriptions of birth, how the embryo develops in the womb. So all these things are there. So here it's mentioned that, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the inhabitants of the different varieties of land are differently situated, and not all of them are equal in all respects. So, first of all, modern philosophers don't acknowledge that there is life on other planets. What to speak of, they're situated differently. So they won't even acknowledge there is life on other planets. But Srila Prabhupada has said time and time again, and we read in the Shastra that, and even Krishna says about the nature of the soul, that it is present everywhere. Krishna, when Krishna describes about the gyan of the soul, he was convincing Arjuna that how we are not the body but the soul. So he can still continue fighting. That was one of the Krishna was trying to convince Arjuna. That how we are not the body, we are the soul. So the soul is residing, there are so many spirit souls all over the universe in different kinds of bodies. So today people have no idea or clue that they just think that all these planets, they're just hanging out there. This for us to see at night, you know, when it's there's no clouds in the sky and we can see these nice stars and planets out there. But ultimately they are lifeless, and they say they have sent so many missions, probes out there, and every time whenever they go they just see it's a desert. Some red desert or brown desert, or and they bring back a few rocks. And then they say there's no one living there. But if we accept the authority of Shastra, we can understand that there is life everywhere. And there is variety everywhere. There is variegatedness. In the spiritual world, there is variegatedness. In the material world, there is also variegatedness. And on this planet, we see there is so much variegatedness. So much variety is there because depending on, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, depending on the different qualities of the modes of nature. So there is so much variety in this universe, and that is all based on the modes of nature. So karanam guna sangasa sad asad yoni janmasu. So depending on the modes of nature we associate with, we take different kinds of births. We develop different kinds of bodies. And then we are differently situated. So not everyone is equal. So spiritually we all are equal. That we all are spirit souls. We are one in quality with Krishna. And we are Sachid Ananda. But materially we all are differently situated. We are not the same. Everyone has a different function in the creation. And we all are placed according to the gunas we have. So all of us have different gunas. We are situated in different gunas. Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Or it can be a mixture of those, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So all these species are basically the 8.4 million species in this universe. And they all are based on the three modes of nature. And all these 8.4 million species are there to give the conditioned living entity the opportunity to enjoy separately from Krishna. That's the idea. So the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. As Krishna says in the 15th chapter of the Gita, that this material world is compared to a banyan tree. So then this tree is based on desire and it is situated upside down because it is perverted. So if we go to a body of water on the banks, if there are trees, we can see that the trees reflect in the water upside down. So this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and whatever is there in the spiritual world is also here, but it is in its perverted form. So that's why we see so much variety, and that's how we can explain there is so much variety. Whereas materialists, they have no answer. And so many religions, they can't explain all these things. But Srimad Bhagavatam can explain all these deep philosophical questions. So as Srila Prabhupada mentions, the inhabitants of the land are different from the inhabitants of the water or the sky, and similarly the inhabitants of the different planets and stars in the sky are also different from one another. So it's easy to understand, we all are not the same. We are different in the sense that our consciousness is as one progresses in the evolution of the species, the consciousness develops more and more. So the lowest is, we have the aquatics. So what's next up from the aquatics? Plants? Yeah. Insects? Plants, yeah. So aquatics are there, and their consciousness is very, very dull. They're in the water. They don't know what's going on the land. They can't hear anything. And they're very covered. So even Krishna explains in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that our eternal enemy is lust. And lust covers our real knowledge. So the real knowledge is, we are servant of Krishna. We are Sachidananda, and we are servant of Krishna, and we are meant to serve Him. So this is a real constitutional knowledge, and we are supposed to remember this all the time, 24/7. And not only remember it, but we are supposed to act in that capacity, and we are supposed to act in that relationship of service to Krishna, 24/7. So that's what the spiritual world is. Is 24/7, there is deep samadhi. There are different stages of remembrance. So samadhi is the topmost stage of remembrance, in which one is totally absorbed in the object. So for us, it's Krishna. But in the material world, when Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samud Bhava, Mahashano Mahapapa, Viddi Enam Iha Varanam. That when this pure love of Krishna, when it comes in contact with matter and by the mode of passion, it is transformed into kama. This love is transformed into lust. And then that lust is the eternal enemy of the conditioned living entity. And it covers one's true knowledge. And it forces us to act in ways which are very harmful to us. So any activity which is not in relationship to Krishna is harmful to us, whether it is so-called good activity or so-called bad. So it is harmful because it makes us forget our relationship with Krishna. So we have been in the material world from time immemorial, and we are covered by lust. So different species are covered by different degrees of lust. So for some the covering is very thick, for some it is less thick. But everyone is covered by lust. So Krishna explains this lust resides in our senses, in the mind and the intelligence. That's where the lust is residing. So for all species, that's where lust is residing. And they're covered. And so Krishna gives the example of 3 degrees of covering. He says, the embryo covered by the womb. So there, the covering of lust is the thickest because one cannot see through the womb. And there's a layer there. And then he gives another example of fire covered by smoke. The next one is a mirror covered by dust. So there also, if you look in a mirror covered by dust, you cannot see yourself. You can't see your reflection. So there is a covering there. And then, so these are progressive. And then the last example he gives is of fire covered by smoke. So we can see how then lust is manifested into different degrees. So fire covered by smoke is the least. So that is compared to like the human form of life. So in the human form of life, lust is also there, but it is much less than other species. The covering is less because in the human form of life, the human form of life is special because one can take up to religion. So that's why the human form of life is very special, and one can take up to Krishna consciousness, or at least to a degree we have the ability to inquire into something higher. Whereas we see the aquatics, they're totally covered, and then the plants, they're also very covered. They're extremely covered. And then what's next? Insects, reptiles, birds, then animals, and then humans. So there's a full gradation depending on one's consciousness. So when we fall from the spiritual world, one comes to the position of Lord Brahma, and from there the jiva has a choice whether to go back up or go down. But usually most of us go down. So then come to the earthly planets. If we misuse a human form of life, then we go down. So in the 14th chapter, Krishna explains birth in the 3 modes of nature. So in the mode of goodness, one takes birth in the higher planetary systems. As Gopal Mandesh was explaining yesterday, to live in the higher planetary systems, you have to be in the mode of goodness. And the process which takes you there also has to be in the mode of goodness. So those who take birth in passion, they come back in the human form of life on earth. And those who die in ignorance, they go in lower species. So they take birth as a plant or as an animal. So that is considered, as Krishna says in the 2nd chapter, that is the greatest misfortune, to take birth in the lower species of life. Okay, passion, at least you're coming back as a human form. You have an opportunity. At least you have a chance. But in goodness, you go higher. It's good. But in ignorance, one goes lower. So that's the greatest tragedy and calamity in life. The greatest calamity is not that you don't get your PR, or you lose your job, or you lose your relationship. These are calamities, but the greatest calamity is one falls down in the lower species. And these days people don't see that as a calamity. If you tell them you'll become a dog or a fish, if you're totally meditating on swimming, or I was watching this documentary on ants, because during Burijan Prabhu's retreat we were given 2 hours of just going out in nature and contemplating and thinking about life and about a spiritual life. So then I went to the forest, and then 1 hour of that, we are supposed to be in a 5-foot area. We are not supposed to leave that area. So then I was sitting on the ground, and after a while I noticed some activity and I saw some ants there. So for some time I was studying the ants. So I saw some were excavating, some were bringing food, others were doing different duties. So I got a bit inspired, so I watched a documentary on ants. So some people have dedicated their lives to studying ants. Like this professor dedicated 50 years of his life to studying ants in a university. So next birth he'll probably end up as an ant. Because Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tirati ante kalevaram tam tam evaidi kontaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So if someone's smaranam, absorption and samadhi is totally in ants, they'll end up as an ant, probably. So the reason they are studying the ants is so human beings can learn something from them, because ants are the most advanced communities. They'll put even human beings to shame. They're so coordinated and they're so organized. And they have such good teamwork, they'll put human beings to shame. It's amazing, actually. Nature can also be a guru sometimes, as like for the Avanti Brahmana. And this is a side point. The queen bee, she lays 2 million eggs every month. She has the capacity to lay 2 million eggs or larvae every month. So their ant colonies expand by the millions every month. So these ants, they are feeding the queen from one end, and the other end, lava is coming out constantly. It's amazing. So this, you know, there are people who have dedicated their lives to studying that. But the point is, the human form of life is very advanced because it affords us the opportunity to go back to Godhead. So the human form of life is a junction where one can go up or go down. So I was talking about the birth in the three modes of nature. Yeah, that was the point being made. So in goodness, one goes up. In passion, one stays as a human. And in ignorance, one goes down. So today's society is just predominantly ignorance, and there's a bit of passion there. So that's where today's society is, and we are living in that environment. So the temple is, the forest is supposed to be in the mode of goodness, and cities are supposed to be in the mode of passion, and brothels, slaughterhouses, etc., casinos are in the mode of ignorance, or pubs. So, but a temple is beyond the three modes of nature, because here there is devotional service to Krishna being rendered. So this is beyond the three modes of nature. So if we situate ourselves in such an environment, so for ourselves we take elements from the mode of goodness and we apply it in our life. We don't rule our life by the mode of goodness. So a brahmana is in the mode of goodness. A kshatriya is predominantly passion. There's a bit of goodness, so that therefore he respects authority, takes guidance from the brahmanas. So vaishyas are in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, and shudras are situated in the modes of ignorance. So this is how we are situated different. So no one is equal. These days people say everyone is equal. You know, they even say men and women are equal. But as Prabhupada is saying here, that's not the case. We all are situated differently according to the manifestation of the three modes of nature. So even during Prabhupada's time, we see that the women were up in arms. They're saying, you know, feminism is so strong, and because the women have been exploited. So, but the point is, men and women are not equal, and not all men are also equal. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different role to play in society. It's not a classless society. That's not true. They like to say it's a classless society, but there are different classes. They are naturally functioning in society. The brahmanas are like the philosophers and the think tanks. The kshatriyas are the rulers, the politicians, administrators. the military police, at least those who were commanding it. And then the Vaishyas are the businessmen, and the Shudras are, as Atul Krishna was mentioning, those who work for others. So this, and you tell one which mode of nature is situated according, as Atul Krishna Prabhu was mentioning, or according to the varna, that according to the type of work they're doing. So that's a good way to judge someone, to find out which mode of nature they are in. Because one is naturally inclined to certain types of work according to their propensity. So in this way we can see everyone is different. So men and women are also different. Our physical makeup is entirely... It is said that men and women are two extremes. It's like oil and water. It's totally different. So our physical makeup is different. Our emotional makeup is different. So the way we perceive the world and understand is totally different. Men and women are different. So we, you know, the argument that we are same, it's a very fallible argument. And Prabhupada was not shy in saying that. He was very bold. He would not compromise. So he would just say that. But the point is whether one is a man or a woman, or doesn't matter which type of varna we are in, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, we all can render devotional service. That's the point. So what's that verse in 9th chapter? That about... Say again? Yeah, that one. How does it start? I forgot. Whether one is a woman, Vaishya or Shudra, that one. Everyone forgot. Everyone on the spot. Okay. So Krishna says in the Gita, say the last two lines of that verse. Tepi, yeah. Yanti param gatim. So, whether one is a Shudra or a Vaishya or a woman, it doesn't matter. Everyone has the equal opportunity of going back to Godhead. Because in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter what varna we are. We all have the same opportunity to engage in devotional service. So, of course, we... Mami partha vipashitriya yepi yanti papa yunayast. Sriya Vaishya Sita Shudra Tepi Yandi Paramgatim. Thank you. So Krishna says, doesn't matter what one's, which type of body we have, whether it's a higher body or a lower body in the modes of nature, we have an equal opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness. So, do you have any questions or comments on this subject matter? Yes, Prabhu. Good question. Are we looking at the lower planets or the middle or the higher? I'm not well versed in cosmology, first of all. Any cosmologist here?
No, but in the northern hemisphere they can see the pole star, which is the highest.
So, I don't think we can see the lower planetary systems. From because, and we can't even see all of the higher planetary systems. We only see some planets. The planets beyond the sun, we can't see. If you want to understand that, Sri Radha Ballabha sent out a short film by the makers of TOVP that explains the model of this universe in great detail. So this is something I have to study and then reply to you properly. Otherwise, I'm just speculating right now. So maybe Kopa Mandesh, would you like to shed light on his question?
Yeah,
some upper planets we can see. We can't see the subterranean planets because there even the sunlight doesn't go. So they are quite low. So yeah, watch that documentary, short film. That'll answer your questions. Yeah. It's rotating and it's going in an orbit. First of all, our eyesight is very limited. Our senses are very defective. So how much can we see? That's one point. And we, as Gopamandesh mentioned, we do see something. And we see some of the higher planets, but we can't see all of them. Because our senses are limited. Maybe you need to, at night, in the Brahmacharya ashram, sit with a telescope and start looking on a clear night. Or you can go on top of Prabhupada's house, get a nice view from there. Yes, Bhakti sir. Okay, that's an explanation. Okay, thank you. Good point. So yeah, I was listening to one lecture by, I think I mentioned this before, by Shivaram Maharaj in Mayapur. And he was saying that many times Prabhupada said to his disciples, go and kick on the faces of the scientists. You know, kick with your boot. Kick my boot on their faces. Because they are propagating nonsense. They're cheating everyone. So then Maharaj said that, he made a very interesting point. He said this TOVP is a kick on the face of the scientists because it will house a planetarium inside it. And it will have so much, it will present Krishna consciousness very scientifically. So this temple in itself is a big preaching endeavor. This is interesting what he said. This temple is a kick on the face of the scientists. It's all a theory. Yeah, we can disregard because they haven't been able to prove what they're saying. They're saying life came by chance from some kind of big bang, and then by mutation, somehow life has evolved. But they are unable to prove their theory. If they're saying life has evolved like that, then they should prove it in the laboratory. They're unable to do that. So, and not only that, their theories are constantly changing. And one philosopher or scientist is arguing with another. So their theories are, they say, evolving, but they're actually changing. So it's not consistent, what they're saying. As many munis, as many opinions. So as many scientists and philosophers, there's different opinions on that. So there's no consistency, whereas you look in the Shastra, there is consistency. And Shastra is perfect. It is not coming from an imperfect source. And at least to me, what the Shastra says, it makes logical sense also. Mahavishnu is there, he breathes, the universe has come out, and then he goes inside. That makes logical sense. And there is creation is explained very systematically in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not directly. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a sequence of events. Then the earth comes.
So
life is eternal. Life is not created. So all the jiva souls are residing in the body of Mahavishnu. So at the time of creation, Srishti, and time of destruction, they go back in his body. They are sleeping. All of us are sleeping. When the time for next creation comes, the personified Vedas, they wake up the Lord by glorifying him. And then the creation takes place. And through his glands, all the jivas are put into nature, into matter. And then gradually there's a whole sequence explain how then bodies come. There is evolution of consciousness, but not evolution of matter. Yeah. So evolution is there, but of consciousness, but not of matter. That's our point of disagreement with the scientists.
Less than the world was created,
yeah, we've been there since time immemorial. All the species have been there. Everyone's been there. It's like Prabhupada gives a very simple example of so many apartments are there. In Science of Self-Realization, he gives this example. So many apartments are there, but one resides in different apartments according to one's ability to pay the rent. So according to one's karma, according to one's desires and karma, which is sanctioned, one lives in different bodies. But all these bodies are there. 8.4 million species are there. So we are evolving from one life form to another till we come to the human form where we can make a solution. Yeah, they're there. Brahma created them. That's what we are reading here. So Brahma created all that. He's the secondary creator. How can they explain such sophisticated life forms? They are still struggling to understand the ants. Just, a tiny insect. It's so small. They can't understand an ant. It's more advanced than us in terms of teamwork and organization. And they're so strong for their size. I was watching an entire ant colony moves in one night. Sometimes they relocate if they have to find more food. They relocate 90 meters. That's an equivalent of us walking 80 kilometers with a full load on top of us, carrying like 60 kilos on top of that. So they relocate. How it's done, it's beyond the imagination of the scientists. In one night, they do it. And they even cross, like rivers and ants don't go along well, but if it's a lake, they can cross it. They'll build a bridge. They'll bring leaves, they'll put them there, they'll join them, and they'll make a bridge with their own bodies also. They know how to make a nest. There are ants who will cut the leaves, they'll bring them together, then with the lava, they'll stitch it together. It's an engineering marvel in itself. So how can this come by chance, by random mutation? It's not possible. It's so sophisticated. And if we study the cells and the genes, it bewilders scientists. So all this cannot happen by chance. There is an intelligent designer out there, and we understand that as Vishnu, who has empowered Brahma to do that, to do creation. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.